Golf guys are sitting in the studio, waiting to rock and roll. But before we do that, I'm going to talk to Joe House. I feel bad because we may have taped the House interview. And I may start the interview by saying my favorite guy to talk golf with. It's kind of shot fired at two guys in the room.
These guys are seething right now.
But here's the thing. House is one of my favorite guys to talk golf with. There's no doubt about it, right? Like, this is going to be a Masters preview pod, okay? It's going to be a lot of Masters talk today. If there's no love for golf, we got lots of special stuff lined up for the podcast only portion of this, which, by the way,
tune in.
If you're not doing it, it's not for the haters, okay? Again, it's not for the haters.
Haters stay out.
People who enjoy, head on over to the podcast page, Spotify and iTunes. We keep it rolling beyond the radio show. There's a podcast only portion of the show now. Do all the nice things and go check it out. Not the haters. Haters.
Only the
to
supporters.
The left. Yes, exactly. I'm sensitive. Okay, before I do the golf stuff, though, quick thought. Yusei Kikuchi. What a performance by him last night. I know people want to discredit it. They want to say, but JD, it's the Royals. Who cares? You know who got lit up by the Royals? Jose Barrios, night before. Yusei Kikuchi went out there, and he did his damn thing. If you recall, somebody bought some stock during the spring.
I was about to say, your stock's looking nice right now.
Somebody. it's okay. I was the only one who believed in him. Like, the rest of the world wrote off Yusei Kikuchi.
And
I was on an island. And I stood bravely beside him and I said, not me. I will not abandon you.
Yusei, I am here.
Yeah, Yusei, I answer. All right? And I stood by him.
Oh, my goodness.
I stood by him. And this is what you get, is you get to a five-inning outing against the Kansas City Royals in one of the first games of the season. No, in all seriousness, though, okay. I really do believe a lot of what happened with Kikuchi last year was pretty clearly some mental stuff, right? He has the one huge strikeout in that game where he throws 97 high heat. Mm-hmm. And in the words of my buddy Sam McKee, who's sitting beside me in silence right now, tantalizing. I actually thought about starting to put a tantalizing count on some of the shows we do together, because that's one of my boy's favorite words. But it absolutely is true. It was tantalizing watching him fire that one. And, man, the Jays just don't have any starting depth, right? Beyond Yusei Kikuchi, it's Mitch White, complete lottery ticket. Some people love him. Blake Murphy thinks he's going to be superstar. Some Blue Jays fans actually believed that he was dating Margot Robbie, which is, to me, his legacy. Yeah, Pete, obviously. Pete falls for everything.
Sorry, Pete. Sorry to throw you under the bus.
No joke, Pete. Well, actually, Joe, you're one to talk because you fell
for... No, it was bad. That was bad.
Joe fell
That's
for the Reddit.
That's my one stain. That's
yeah,
my one
Joe
stain.
Fell for the Reddit thing where he was like, all NFL games are scripted?
No, it wasn't the Reddit thing. It was the video on Twitter.
Yeah, it was. It was the Barstool Sports.
But the script is now my
Joe,
bit.
Literally wrote in our Google Doc, like, I can't believe this. He's like, I knew some games were fishy, but fully scripted?
Yeah, no, it was bad. It sounds worse when you say it like that.
But Pete is like, when April Fool's happens on Twitter, I go, oh no, this is the end of days for him. He's going to get got 100 different times.
JD, I'll just say, on April Fool's,
yeah, you got
I sent so many messages to the group chat and then realized, oh my God, it's April Fool's, and deleted them before you guys could see.
Yeah, I know.
But it was bad.
I'll never forget, you sent one from like a fan account that had 1,000 Twitter followers that was like, Austin Matthews out for the season.
That was after the John...
Extension, yeah.
I was at the John Mayer concert.
The John Mayer concert he was at.
And I was like...
It was a great night.
What are you doing?
Yeah, my
This
bad.
Is outrageous. Like, you have no filter for this.
It's can't
like,
sign until July 1st. Yep.
Unbelievable.
Terrible.
Anyway, turn your mic off.
Poor Pete.
So, there are certain guys in the market that just get enough. They get enough heat. They get enough hate. Kikuchi stuck with it the entire time. Mm-hmm. The broadcast kept talking about it. Guy who goes about his work, does his work properly, and was a good teammate last year. Changed his role for the team when they needed him to, and yeah, he makes a lot of money, but some guys are pouty and some guys are not like that. Mm-hmm. He apparently was not. Apparently did everything that he could to kind of get right and get back. And yeah, now we're seeing it where, hey, he had a really good spring. He's building that little bit of momentum, and that's what you need from Kikuchi, right? Is 5 innings where he doesn't kill you.
Yeah, only 3 hits.
5 innings where he just doesn't get one walk.
Yeah.
One walk, 3 hits. Lovely stuff for Kikuchi. Mm-hmm. I just, that's the thing for me is so many guys in sports get absolutely beat up on. And then every once in a while, we reach a point where you go, man, it's the Simpsons meme. Stop.
He's already dead.
He's already dead. And now with Kikuchi, it would be really, really awesome if there was a bit of a redemption story here. And frankly, if Barrios is last year Barrios, they might need a little bit more. Anyways, it's Masters Preview Pod Day, all right? Play more Blue Jays other days. Play more Blue Jays tomorrow with Ennis. Today, Masters Preview. It's time to get into it with my favorite guy to talk golf with, Joe House.
House.
JD.
What's up, brother? How we doing?
Awesome. How you doing?
I'm doing okay, man. I mean, it's Masters week. I'm fine.
Exactly. We're on our knees and praying.
Yeah. I honestly, dude, it's like, hey, we'll just start this thing. It's Joe House, the Fairway Rolling Podcast, which is excellent. My favorite guy to talk golf with. And I was sitting there last night. I got absolutely killed on San Diego State, and it was one of those bets was over. Yeah, I bet the 7.5, and I was just like, these guys are tough. You know, this is a tough defensive team. They'll find a way. And then I'm just sitting there just miserable, right, for a second. And then I went, why are you mad? I get the post-tournament. God, there was so much to bet on. It was so fun, blah, blah, blah. And then I looked at the Masters odds, and I went, everything is fine. You know, everything is going to be A-okay.
Everything is fine.
Yes, everything is perfect because it is Masters week. Okay, so last time I spoke with you, we were talking about Full Swing, and I hadn't seen it yet, and I will tell you I'm a little disappointed, but you gave me the heads up of, hey, this is all about this year, right? This is about this season for Full Swing. And I took that advice, and I watched the last episode of it and went, you know what? House was bang on with this take. This is the correct take. So I want to start about with this way. You and I get to sit down in the producer's room, right? We get to be a part of Full Swing. They've brought us in. They go, hey, actually, they just bring you in. They go, you're Joe House. You're from the Fairway Rolling Podcast. You get to choose a storyline outside of Rory because it's too obvious. We're obviously going to try to do Rory. We can't do Tiger. Who's the next person that you want to do the story on at this Masters?
Oh, wow. At this Masters. Patrick Reed.
Three. Really, he's on the Mount Rushmore. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Well, here's why. Mm-hmm. This is an unprecedented, once-in-a-lifetime, never-to-be-repeated Masters. Like, there might be disruption in the golf world sometime 50 years from now. I don't think I'm going to still be on the planet. Mm. So we have an actual, like, team competition at the Masters. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of unfathomable. As we have been sort of sizing up our dance cards and thinking about what wagers we want to place, and mm-hmm. particularly how are the live guys going to perform, mm-hmm. one guy that I know will be up for the moment is Patrick Reed.
Yes.
I mean, the guy channels the conflict. He lives for the violence, JD. You know what I mean?
I do like this.
He wants all the smoke. He's going to show up. He's going to be ready for it. Like, I would be tracking him.
Okay.
Because it's a drama cloud surrounding him at all times.
So, obviously, I see our friends at Botano have plus 7,400 for... Yeah, Patrick Reed to win this thing, and now I have to do it because this is the first thing that you came
on it.
And I'm like, yeah, why not live this way? Because, yeah, one of my questions actually for you was, who is the number one nightmare for the PGA, right? Like, who's the number one nightmare guy? So you obviously think it's Reed, because I was debating, I think there's only three candidates. I think Reed was definitely one of them. I think Phil is absolutely one of them, right? Like, imagine golf has to celebrate Phil. Like, boy, I don't even know what that looks like. I genuinely feel like people would be paralyzed. He sinks that final putt, right? And what happens? What do people say?
It's literally unfathomable, and I will tell you, probably my favorite bet on the entire board is Phil Mickelson to miss the cut. It's at minus 102, I think, right now. Mm-hmm. I'm plowing a very uncomfortable amount into that particular wager.
Do you feel, though, as though some of your Phil hate has played into this bet? Because I feel like this is a great bet for the Phil haters.
I don't really hate Phil.
Okay.
He is exactly what Fred Couples said. He's a nutbag. He lost his mind over the last couple of years. I thought him winning the PGA Championship at Kiowa, I just feel lucky to have been able to watch that. It was absolutely incredible. He just lost his mind, and that happens sometimes. But he's not good at golf. He can't play competitive golf.
Yeah,
you don't need it. You know, we have 2 years of evidence of it. He hasn't played well since he won the PGA Championship. So, you know, this we try and be rational with the bets. We're not
Yeah.
This one's not one from the heart. This one's from the wallet.
Yeah. I don't think Phil can win either. I just like picturing a world where he's at least in the hunt and he's at least competitive and something happens here and everyone's terrified. I thought my number three pick for worst live guy to win was Cam Smith, just because he was a top of his game guy, right? Like a lot of the other dudes that left went and chased the bag. When Cam Smith left, he had just won. And there was sort of a feeling of, hey, what exactly is this guy to the world of golf? Who is he in the world of golf? How high ranked should he be in the world of golf? And it, like, I feel like if he won, that would be the number one legitimizer of LIV. Do you agree?
Well, I think the number one legitimizer of LIV was him leaving right after winning the British Open, after winning the Open Championship. And, you know, I don't know now that like the idea of Cam Smith assimilated into that orbit, and he was very good, I thought, at his press conference yesterday. He was very candid about at peace with the decision, and he's not sure about how he's playing. But I don't know that I would think of him as necessarily being a worst-case scenario for the tour, because they've kind of already taken that hit. Like, he's definitely a top-five player in the world, even at this moment. I don't know what kind of form he's in. Mm-hmm. He said, you know, he went fishing while everybody was at the Players Championship. He wasn't able to defend. He said the waterways around Ponte Vedra were wide open. Everybody was watching the golf, so he and his buddies had a great time. But I mean, Phil would just be terrific. You know, maybe I think honestly, it's like somebody like DJ might be a little bit worse, because it reminds everybody of what we lost with DJ. Cameron Smith isn't exactly like a household name in the American sporting public's golf consciousness the way DJ is.
Yeah, that's why I feel Cam is worse, though, because if he wins it, he becomes more, right? This is a selling feature for LIV where they go, we have the guy. You guys keep saying that there are other people that are the guy. We actually have the one. Because I think for the PGA, it's clearly either Rory or Scotty wins this thing, and it's huge for them, right? Scheffler wins. They go back-to-back champ. We've got the new dominant alpha guy in golf. He's the one you should be watching. He's what we hoped Koepka could be, but actually an even better dude, right? A better guy to put public-facing. Obviously, the story with Rory is plain, simple, clear. It's the massive. It's the number one, gets every single casual involved in this thing. I just feel like if I'm running LIV, I want Cam Smith to win this thing. You know who I don't want to win, though, if I'm LIV? Is Koepka. He just won again.
Yeah.
And then there's those rumors that maybe he wants to come back and he's saying he's healthy. Do you buy that smoke? Because I kind of want it to be real. I don't know if I believe it. I want it to be real that Brooks Koepka ends up winning this thing or is in the hunt, and then he turns his back on LIV and he's the first guy to try to bolt.
Yeah, you know, I don't dismiss stories like that lightly. Mm-hmm. I think he's a pretty shrewd operator. And honestly, I think I shared this when we got together and talked about Full Swing. I still don't believe that he had not made up his mind about jumping over to LIV when he when he taped his particular segment for Full Swing. I thought that whole thing was artifice. I thought that was a performance. I thought he knew for sure that he's going to LIV.
Agreed.
So I give him a lot of credit for being kind of a calculated actor. So I don't dismiss at all the notion that he's looking at what's happening with the PGA Tour. They solved the money and the profile stuff. And the thing that I think we may be underrated with Brooks, and we have to put Jenna in that package as well, they like being in the public eye. Mm-hmm. They like being on television. He ain't on television.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, no, he's not sitting courtside at Orlando Magic games and getting the camera on him, because he's not on network TV here, you know, 40 times a year, 35 times a year, when he's off on the CW on Saturdays and Sundays. You know what I mean?
Dude, 100%. He just showed up at a Florida Panthers game and somehow brought a pylon and was yelling at one of the defensemen of that team. And then it was revealed that they're not friends and that he was just doing that. And I went, what the hell? And that's another good reminder of this guy loves the spotlight. There's a reason why he tried to blow that DeChambeau thing up, right? It wasn't just because he hated Bryson. It's because he wanted the spotlight. His affiliation with the Barstool guys, the way that when he was hot, the way he did the media tour where he was the guy that was above playing golf, the way that golf was supposed to be, the alpha, the competitor, the pace guy. My guess is if he feels healthy and if he feels good and he's able to either win this thing or be in the hunt with this thing, I got to imagine the Liv people go, yeah, he's out of here. He's going to want to go back to that.
And you know what? What's super interesting, and it would happen in a way that you and I would never know, I wouldn't be shocked if there was some kind of subsidy. You know, like he has to stroke a giant check back to the Saudis, but I bet the tour and its partners could come up with some way to help Brooks offset some of that expense. Now, yeah. I'm down in my conspiracy theory, realm with that. But if the money is the thing, money always has a solution.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned.
I love this conspiracy because it flies directly in the conflict of what some of my friends are saying, which is that the PGA doesn't want him back. And I'm like, I don't even understand this position. Why wouldn't they want a defector? That's got to be the number one thing that they're hoping for right now is a massive defector that goes, this is just not competitive golf. This is not where the best golfers are. It was nice for the check, but I want to be playing meaningful tournaments. That's the biggest win they could possibly have.
You're absolutely right. You and I are in lockstep agreement, and it's why what you're positing here in terms of him having a good Masters that really could ramp up the exit ramp timing.
Mm-hmm. I want it to happen. I really do. I liked the idea of Liv, but the execution of Liv for me has been a complete failure. Like, I'm not watching it. I'm never seeing it. And I just get clips, and then I get told someone wins something, and then there's actually a controversy. I go, yeah, I don't really care. I want the best golfers back at all the tournaments. I'd rather have it be this way. It's fine that they have their evil empire ship over somewhere else. I thought it was going to end up being a good thing. I just don't think it's worked out that way. I hope that we have some sauce, some juice, though, with, like, the galleries at this thing. I'd love to see a person here or there removed because they were yelling at one of the Liv people. Do you, because this is such a classy affair, right? Obviously, it's golf, and this is golf's crown jewel. But is there a small part of you that wants a little bit more drama, a little bit more attitude among some players? Like, maybe we get that Rory Reed moment on the course. Maybe we do get a fan that's a little rowdier. Like, what is your hope if when it comes to the drama element of this weekend?
I would love some player tension, some notable, some face expression, some cold shoulder, something interesting coming out of the Champions Dinner. They're working hard. I think Ben Crenshaw is going to go in there and try and make everybody sit down and state their name and their favorite color and try and do some kumbaya at the dinner to keep the temperatures low.
Uh-huh.
But man, that's the one thing I can tell you that as far as I'm concerned, we're not going to see is anything out of the patrons. Like, they just don't tolerate it there. And it's not even like the iron fist of the law. It's that the patrons all self-police. Like, people don't even – you get looked sideways for yelling after guys tee off. I mean, Yahoo's still do it, but the place where we're going to see that kind of fan drama – is up in New York, upstate New York, for the PGA Championship in May. That's the one that I'm looking forward to. This one, to me, is really setting the stage. And all four of the majors this year are lining up with this same storyline, this basic idea of team competition, which has never been a part of the majors. And it's why it's such a rich moment in professional golf and why I'm very excited to be heading down there today.
Oh, that's so nice. I'm so jealous of you. And yes, you're right. I don't really need it from the patrons, but it will be an absolute nightmare if they end up with a Liv and a PGA guy in the final pairing. And it's like Sergio Garcia with Justin Rose, where they're high-fiving each other and they're going, I'm so happy for you. If that happens, I don't know how I'll feel. Sick is actually how.
Like, it could happen.
Yeah,
it could happen.
I know it could.
Can't rule it out.
I know. And that would just be that's a huge L for golf fans. That's a huge L for golf. That's a huge L for everybody involved. Okay, so last two things, House. One is Scheffler or Rory more compelling just to you personally?
It's got to be Rory because of his ascension to the top of the industry. I mean, he's the most important person in the entire industry through the combination of his incomparable charisma and his ability to be a compelling, sincere, earnest spokesperson for the interests of the PGA Tour, and also playing incredible golf. He was awesome for about 4 months there. One thing that has fallen off in the first part of this calendar year, 23, is his putting. But for him to play as well as he played in the last portion of last year to win the FedEx Cup by going out and grabbing the thing by the throat, and then also to be, you know, really rewriting the book on how professional golf is going to be competed and appear on television. Pretty impressive story. Like, this master is completing his legacy. You know, I was disappointed to not have him win the 150th Open Championship, because that story was a pretty great story.
Yeah.
But now this Masters story is right there. It's 1A in terms of a storyline that you know, completing, you know, putting him, he's already up the very upper echelon, but this clinches him as a top five most important player in the history of golf if he wins this week.
Yeah, and so you're right. I guess I've been just trying to zag a little bit more with the Scheffler angle, going, man, having someone go back-to-back and having him be just like the clear alpha of golf would be very cool to me. I
agree.
Yeah.
The problem is he's Applebee Scheffler.
I know.
It's all the menu.
Yeah, I know. He really is.
He's right down the middle.
I know.
Firecracker shrimp and sliders.
That's the thing about Scheffler is, and that's what I actually did find so interesting about watching Koepka watch him and be obsessed with him, is because Koepka's going, you're just the sanitized version of me. Like, this had to be killing him watching Scheffler just take everything that he was trying to brand himself as, but then the boring version of it. Just like, I don't know. I can't tell you a single thing about Scotty Scheffler outside that he's incredible at golf and that he's kind of handsome and tall.
He's a Christian. So yeah, the two like, things
that's
I know.
What I'm he's like, does anybody know what Scotty Scheffler does when he steps off a golf course? Like what he enjoys? You're right. He probably just goes to Applebee's, has the same thing every time. I can 100% see that. Treats himself to two or three beers. I don't think he's a compelling figure. But yes, I also do like having sort of the golf robot. Obviously, Spieth to me is number three, and then I think number four would be, yeah. Well, actually, no, you're right. The number three would definitely be, if it's a live guy, that was, yeah, of the Patrick Reed variety, and then Spieth comeback story and all the beauty narrative stuff that gets tied in, because golf fans love Spieth. They just will not abandon Spieth. But okay, last one. There's pretty significant changes to the course. It is much longer, like way longer than I thought it was going to be. How do you think this actually impacts things, if at all?
Well, here's the added element to that, mm-hmm. and I use the word element intentionally. The weather looks awful, mm-hmm. and the changes to 13, that's the most prominent change to the golf course. All the guys coming off, it sounds like it's a three-shot hole. I mean, I'm literally begging FanDuel to post how many eagles will there be on 13 so I can bet the under. Because I think everybody is going to lay up. The only eagles that might come would be from somebody, you know, chipping in from across the creek. Mm-hmm. But it's listed around 7,600 yards. There's a combination of rain and cool weather over the weekend. This forecast is a real bummer.
Yeah,
it might be playing like over 8,000 yards. So it's going to be. It really creates a bunch of uncertainty in terms of what kind of guys are going to have success, because the last, you know, we were sort of looking for parallels in terms of when the golf course played particularly tough under bad weather conditions. And it was like 2007 and 2008, you know, Zach Johnson and Trevor Immelman won. So we're talking through, do we cross off the short hitters this week, if the course indeed plays as long as it seems it's going to play because of the weather, or are those guys, you know, the guys, the steady grinders that hit the ball right down the middle and will be saving par from all over the place, is that the kind of tournament we're going to have? So it's, you know, they add length kind of every year, but the 13th is the most dramatic increase, and it's a restoration, a lot of people are saying, of the hole and the way it was intended to be played, you know, all the way back to kind of the Bobby Jones vision.
House, I can't wait to listen to Fairway Rolling podcast, which is excellent. Again, everybody subscribe, review, go listen. I'm very jealous that you get to be there. Enjoy it, man. That is going to be one hell of a weekend, one hell of a Masters.
I'll have a $5 domestic and an egg salad in your honor.
Thank you. I appreciate that, sir. Joe House, the Fairway Rolling podcast. Safe travels, buddy.
Thanks, JD.
See you, man. All right, there he was, Joe House. Great to talk to. And I love how excited he is heading down the event. One day, I will go to that event, and I will be a very, very happy man.
We'll have a show trip. all the boys.
Yeah. Here's what I can promise you, Joe.
You're leaving me somewhere.
You and Pete will have zero, zero, zero thought in terms of what I would like to do or where I would go. I still can't believe that Ben Ennis has gone but also won the lottery multiple times. That he has won the ticket lottery more than one time.
Really?
Yeah.
So, I wonder what the mathematical odds of that are.
It's not that insane, but he's made a pretty profit off of it and still gone. And yeah, good for him. Anyways, I've got the golf guys here. We're going to do a little bit of added stuff. I'm really pissed off at Guns' boy, Rory. So yeah, I'm going to give it to Guns. And then we're going to get into basically everything that we left on the table. Tiger expectations. Can't believe I didn't talk about Tiger Woods like at all with Joe House.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, I didn't want to because I want to talk about with the Tiger guys. Golf guys next.
Discussing the biggest stories that matter to Toronto sports fans. The Fan Morning Show with Ailish Forfar and Justin Cuthbert. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, golf guys here. What are you guys doing? What's your, you're doing 2 days a week coming up here now that we're in golf season where you do what time?
TBD for that Gunny. Still. Yeah. So we're going to go looking like Monday, okay. Wednesdays. Once we get a little more distance from the hockey season is kind of the thing there. And then every Saturday we got you covered.
Right. Right. Hockey.
Hockey.
That's still going on.
Yeah, it is.
It's so funny because it's going to go from basically all these just complete slog Leaf games. Like last night felt like torture.
It's work.
Watching last night,
game.
McKee and I.
Horrific.
What do you think the over-under on us griping about watching that game text was?
At 45? Least. I was going to say, I sent at least five myself.
Yeah,
so.
I know. It was intense. Well, the both of us just won. Man, this is the time of the year where, recently anyways, the Leafs, I shouldn't sound so entitled because the Leafs have been so bad for such a large portion of my life, like good chunk of my adolescence. Mm-hmm. But this is now the time of year where we get into, the Leafs are locked into their spot. We get it. They're not going to win the President's Trophy, but they're close and they're locked into their first round matchup because Gary Bettman.
They've had the same regular season for seven years.
Exactly. We've seen it all the entire time.
Yes.
And then the Jays come and it's hot, sexy,
oh my God,
fresh
it's most
times.
Exciting
Kikuchi's
thing in the world.
Dealing.
And the difference between the two, and sometimes Raptors are frisky and sexy in there, and they go, we're interesting too, watch us. And you go, ooh. But this year, it's just, yeah, nobody's watching.
The Hornets didn't play anybody last night. It was just G League team.
Listen, the only people that watched the Hornets and Raptors game last night, Will Liu and my mom.
Nice.
My mom watched every Raptors game, send me texts all the time. And she, I love my mom's texts because they're always like, woohoo, OG. And I'm like,
I came in here and said, did the Raptors play last night?
My mom has 100% watched more Raptors games than me this year. And she's been in Spain for a month.
She loves her Raps.
She loves her Raps.
That's fair.
Loyal fan.
Listen, I like the Raps
too. I respect
it. I like the Raps too, but
they played a lot of the same nights as the Leafs this year.
They've had some overlap. And I'll do the record. And I'll do the rewatch, and I've seen, I would say, at least 85% of the Raptors games this year. But like last night, where they go Charlotte, and there's two other games, I go, I think I'll be all right.
Yeah.
I don't think this will affect my analysis of the playoffs. Missing this particular Raptors game this evening, anyways. The Masters is here.
You were the Magic Johnson. I'm not gonna be there.
Yeah, that was me.
100%. I'm not gonna be there.
Yeah, I'm not gonna be there. Yeah, no chance. I would say last night on the docket, if I would have been able to power rank what I would have watched. Number one, obviously Blue Jays.
Yep.
Number two, Sabres, Panthers. Number three, Celtics, Sixers. That would have been it. Yeah. And then number four, I probably would have wanted to watch Luis Castillo pitch for the Mariners. Cause, nice.
What about Oilers, Kings? Is that anywhere near the top?
Not really.
Yeah, okay.
They're going to play at seven more.
Yep. Exactly.
They're meeting in the playoffs.
Yeah. They're about to play each other. And
seven times.
Yeah, I get it. McDavid's good, fine. I'm a Bedard guy.
Gavin McKenna.
Yeah, you're not my Connor. No, he is. I love Connor McDavid so much. It hurts me, actually, how much I love Connor McDavid and how much I want to praise the Oilers for him. Okay, so yeah, Masters. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. All right, a couple things to start off with here before maybe we get into some picks and some secondary storylines and the things that the hardcores care about. These two are diehards, all right? Mm-hmm. They watch everything. In fact, yeah, the amount of times I'll be texting Sam going, and then about something sports related, and he'll go, I wasn't watching, I was watching the golf. It's a very common text that I get back from my buddy because he's constantly watching stuff that I'm not even aware exists.
Corey Connors win last week.
Let me start by saying this, though. You two watch a ton of golf.
Mm-hmm.
I was team Liv is good for golf, even though it's obviously a bad look for these guys. But let's not pretend any of these dudes are good people. Like any of these golfers are the type of guy.
Safe assumption.
Yeah, that you want to aspire to be. Here's my guess. Many are involved in shady cabals. Yeah. That the Liv tour, them deciding to go take the Saudi money, was not the worst thing a lot of those guys did. All right? That's just one of the things those guys did on a list when they get to a certain place. Anyway, I thought Liv would at least add a really cool couple of elements to golf. One is the competitive nature, which we saw a little bit in when we watched Full Swing, the very last episode with Rory, where he's at the Open and he's on the massage table and he says, "Bleep, Phil." And I went, "Yes, cool, Rory." Yeah. And I bought into the Rory hype, and he loses to Cam Smith, and Cam Smith goes to Liv, and I'm like, this season is going to set up for something cool. But here's what I've noticed about Liv. They don't play golf very often. Yeah. And when they do play, no one's aware of it happening. Mm-hmm. And I don't know a single serious golf fan who watches a lot of Liv Tour. I remember at the very beginning, Sammy was streaming like a little bit of it. Yeah. Remember that?
I've watched a couple tournaments this year. Yeah, not like full, in full, but like but I've my flick back option.
You've seen a couple of tiny little pieces of it. But for the most part, I would say that this has been a bit of a flop from
No question.
Like, okay, what was the point of all of this exactly? Like, what is... No, I get that it was for money and that those guys... that the guys that are funding it have so much of it that they genuinely don't know what to do. They're like, we've bought everything. Let's just... What about golfers? You want to go buy some golfers? Yeah. And they're like, yeah.
Let's put them in a tournament.
I guess. Yeah. Like, look, there's Phil on our course.
He's pretty cool.
He's
not
there.
Not really, but...
Yeah. He knows what's going on. Literally, he said to journalists and then said off the record that he didn't know what was going on. But okay, let's start with this. Rory McIlroy, yesterday, he's at the podium, and they ask him about the Liv guys.
Because, sorry, I just need to steel myself to defend my boy
Rory,
here from
Rory
all of you.
Rory is the captain of the PGA. He is the Captain America of the PGA Avengers, right? He is there to be the leader. He's the one that has spoken up. He's the one that got more... money for the PGA guys, right?
Correct.
He's the man. And then he steps to the podium yesterday and they ask him about it. And he goes, well, listen, I see Brooks and DJ all the time. I love golfing with those guys. And then he has this kind of little answer of, and I'm not as good of friends with everyone as I am them. So he doesn't, that's like the spicy part of the quote. Is he's like, I am not best friends with Patrick. It's like, woo la la.
Spicy.
But then he's like, oh, but this event is, it's all about this event. And you go, great. What the hell just happened? Okay, so I'm not getting the drama that was I was promised.
No.
Because I haven't seen one sexy quote from any golfer. What's actually, the best one was from, what's his name? Little tiny guy, Matt.
Mito Pereira?
No. The little fella that won on Full Swing, and he gets his episode, the British guy, the tiny
Matt Wallace.
Matt Fitzpatrick. Yeah, Matt Fitzpatrick. He had the one where he was on Barstool, and he was like, yeah, I don't think those guys should come back. It's not fair to the fellas on the tour that committed to the PGA. And I was like, yeah, buddy. Nice try, little fella. No way. Those guys want back in.
100%.
Yeah, they're coming back. Yeah, all right. How do we feel just about the Liv guys here, the drama here? Yeah, because for a casual like me, I feel very let down.
Okay, so I'll jump in here. Yeah, I see guns. You, both of you came at me with, defend your boy. He's walking back his comments.
Yeah, because he's honestly, here, it was kind of like...
Because he won.
It was a word we can't say.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I know which one you're getting at. But he won. So I actually don't think he's that.
Yeah.
Because he won. He's sitting there with his big paycheck and talking about how strong he is and how much he wins all the time. And when you look at the Liv guys versus them, there was a moment. There was a chance. There were 5 minutes after Cam Smith beat him at St. Andrews and he goes to Liv and you're saying, wow, is that the sea change? And can Liv really make a go of it? Yeah. And guess what? They have had countless weekends where there was no golf on the PGA Tour that mattered outside of to sickos like me, and they've never been able to break through. So he doesn't need to keep hammering them over the head. It is a complete big brother, little brother thing. Yeah, I like some of those guys. Guess what? Some of them I don't. We don't need to do this every week. So to me, it is just...
Not every week. This is the crown jewel of golf, and this is the
tournament. So make it about the crown jewel of golf.
No, but that's part of it. It's like these guys showing up for this event. It's not a PGA event. They were banned from those.
Yep.
They're not allowed to play in PGA events. The Masters decided they're allowed to play in it. This is basically all of these guys are going now. We're kind of justified because none of us cared about Velaro, no offense to you guys. Mm. But they show up at the Masters and they're thrilled to be here. This is what matters to them. That's why it's so nice that Ian Poulter's not here because, yes, nice.
Yeah, he's like, oh, another week where I don't get paid in my private jet.
Oh, nobody got done dirtier on Full Swing than him.
I know, yeah.
Just Ian every Poulter, scene of him complaining just interjected with mansions and PJs.
And his stupid pants getting on his rich boy plane. And you're like, I hate this guy.
Listen, the thing that Rory press conference, and I watched the whole thing, that really stuck out to me is that this was never about, you know, the sanctity of the PGA Tour. It was just about the money. And now that they've got tons of money after the LIV guys left, the LIV guys made them all rich.
I don't think that's fully true.
Well, I think
Rory cares about legacy, and I think he cares about Tiger.
Sure, ultimately, they care the most about the money, and they got paid an incredible amount of money because of the LIV guys leaving, because of the threat, and they got way more money than they ever would have without LIV. So I think they're just like, I know, I really hate those guys. Mm-hmm. Those guys, you know, they really screwed us, aka made us 10 times richer. So I just think that the knives have been dulled big time because everybody got their money.
Well, I think the other thing that's important as well is it goes back to the idea of, I think the threat has been kind of neutralized. Like, not say LIV's just going to go away. No one else is leaving to go join it. So the fact that they don't feel like they have to hammer home the point of, we hate LIV, it's like, guess what?
Okay.
It's going to die on the vine at some point in time.
I don't need them to say, I hate LIV, because I know golfers
don't
aren't
come out
do
and
that.
Say that like your buddies.
Yes,
it's a bad look.
Thank you. That's what I'm
especially
saying.
Especially with, like, Brooks, who is like super combative about it, and like he spent the whole, like, what's his name, Rory, after the Canadian Open, bashed LIV literally every single chance
that's
he got for five
it.
Times,
it's
and then as soon as he's triple as rich, he goes out there and he's like, oh, they're actually my friends.
Well, it's guns. Also as soon as the fight's over, though. Like, no. That was in the throes of the LIV versus the PGA Tour fight.
That's what I'm saying. This is actually why this is what I wanted, and what I really think would have been a fair request is for Rory, as the face of the PGA, the guy who has been the one throwing these barbs, the guy who has been the leader of the PGA, to just simply say something like, we believe the best golfers on the planet are still on the PGA, and we want a PGA golfer to win this event. Done. Mm. Case closed. That hard. That adds so much juice to this thing.
What do you think? Like, I guess the point is that this is what we want from the top level guys. I don't
care.
I don't think Rory McIlroy cares one iota if Will Zalatoris or Cameron Young or some other good PGA Tour player beats a LIV guy at the Masters. He wants him to win the Masters. And after that, not a LIV guy making a tour guy.
But the reason why you say that is because it's more about the LIV guys not winning. Because the whole proposal of this is that, yes, LIV has taken guys who are done and who are washed and who do not care anymore, and they got fat and sassy and they're over because they're barely playing any golf. This is the thing, right? Mm-hmm. House came on here and he's like, I haven't seen Phil Mickelson have a golf shot in years. Like, I have no idea what he's going to end up looking like.
I've
at this
seen term. Some calves.
Yeah.
They're popping.
They're popping. They're nice.
Still got them going.
If you end up having somebody from LIV win your crown jewel event this weekend, then all of a sudden, it feels like they did just, it doesn't matter that those guys aren't playing, that some of them do still have that competitive fire, that they were able to poach some of the best guys. That's why, to me, I thought the worst guy that could win, House didn't agree with me, is Cam Smith. Because I felt like if Cam Smith shows up here and wins the Masters and then heads back to LIV, you go, oh, right. It's not Rahm, McIlroy, and Scottie Scheffler. Mm-hmm. It's Cam Smith, and they have one of the main guys you should be watching in golf. Now, there is definitely a Patrick Reed thing because he's such a villainous figure, but I almost think that would be good for golf because it's like, hey,
if Cam Smith wins, there will be polite words said about him. If Patrick Reed wins as a LIV guy, there will not be people biting their
tongues. But I think that'll be good for golf. Cam Smith doing it or good for the PGA. I just think it's kind of lame that Rory, like Sam said, that he was Mr. We need to keep the sanctity of the game together. We need to make sure all the records, and I care about Tiger Woods, and I'm at the Open taking pictures with Tiger and all the former winners and going, it's all about the PGA and PGA, PGA. And then the second he gets his money, he's like,
well,
I see how you guys look at it. But
hope
it's
I
not,
get paired with DJ because I just love the banter.
But it's not just that they got the money. The fight's also over.
I don't agree that it is.
Okay.
I think that as long as LIV is still poaching the top players
on
the planet.
That's where I would say why it is over. The idea of a Scottie Scheffler or a Jon Rahm or a Jordan Spieth or even like a more golf nerd guy like Cameron Young. He is like a really hot prospect, not a hot looking man, but a hot golf prospect. If he went, wouldn't really change anything. And I don't think any of those guys are going. So I do. That's why I think it's dead and gone. It's okay.
But they already have a bunch of the guys that they wanted, is what I'm saying. Like, they there's got, still, what, the, 17 live guys that are at the Masters?
Yeah, 18.
But that's what I'm saying.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of guys, yeah. That's not, it's over. We have 18
and
of the guys.
And four of them are really good at Augusta.
That's what I was going to say. Four of them are to be top 10 finishers, all under plus 300.
Like, they are a threat.
Yes.
DJ is a threat.
DJ's a threat. DJ is also 40-some-odd years old.
Koepka?
Yes, a threat. Agreed.
Patrick Reed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a little less bullish than him, but Cam Smith for sure as well.
Yeah.
Any four of those guys could win.
What's the deal with Cam Smith?
I mean, what do you mean?
Well, he's just playing haphazard golf on live, and it's fine. Yeah. But this is the old Koepka question from every major for the last 4 years when he was doing it is, can he just flip a switch? And with Smith, the hope would be that he's able to do that. That'd be his hope. But I think it's going to be really tough, like going from not playing in tournaments that matter at all. You already have all your money taken care of. It's just a completely different feel. Some guys, it won't affect them at all. DJ is probably the perfect case study for a guy like that. There's nothing going on in there.
Yeah.
So, is it different? I didn't even notice.
Yeah.
But with a guy like Cam Smith, I'm not going to say he's going to flame out, but I wouldn't be shocked if he did.
See, this is going to be an interesting one for me, for Brooks. I think he's the most compelling live guy for me because he has the rumblings about being a defector.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if he can hang at the Masters.
Mm-hmm. And he just won on live, too.
That's what I'm saying. If he can hang at the Masters, I feel like he's going to feel as though he should be back here competing and being relevant and back in the media and that he would get the pop of being the person that comes back.
Back in the spotlight.
But I also wonder about the amount of pressure that's on him. And again, not to try to take too much from Full Swing, but one of the things that he referenced, the most notable quote from him was, do you know what Scottie Scheffler's thinking about right now? Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was clear that he was thinking about stuff.
Of course.
And so I can't help but myself believe he's heading into this Masters with a ton of pressure on his shoulders.
I don't think so. No, I don't think any of the live guys really have any pressure because everybody's
I think you nailed it there with every Cam Smith.
No, those guys don't care.
No, Mito Pereira, Joaquim Neiman, none of those guys care.
This is the second Mito Pereira reference we've gotten here.
I don't know, man. I just don't I really think that sure, of course he wants to win, but I don't think these guys are gonna you see what the penalties are to get out of live? Like, they're there
forever.
Oh, no,
he's not leaving. Yeah.
Like, they're stuck.
No, but, again, speaking of house, he thinks that there could be some back-channeling of some of that money. You could end up getting an angel investor to help you get out of some of this live stuff.
We're getting down. I don't think the pressure is on any of the live guys. Like, everyone thinks that they don't play golf and that they all suck now. So I think they're going into this with house money, really. Like, they're going in thinking that everyone thinks they're like, hey, we suck now. We're not relevant golfers, so we're going to go here. And we're going to play at this tournament that's the most relevant.
Yeah.
And we're going to have the spotlight on us. But ultimately, no one's expecting us to do anything. Huh. So
I think for most of those guys, that is how they think about it. But Koepka's always been the one who, I'm not a golfer. Yeah. I'm an athlete. I want to go out here and win and prove myself
that stuff.
And
he's going to be part of it.
I'm with you. I think the fact that if he wouldn't have had the win, which is weird to say because I discredit everything else that happens on Live. But now that he won there, I'm like, well, I mean, he did just win.
He did win.
Beat 48 golfers.
Yeah, guess what?
In a somewhat competitive field.
But this is what I'm saying. He's the only guy that cares. That they've removed all the money. They've given him every dollar, every penny, every cent, and he's still out there going, I want to win. And he likes the spotlight, man. There's a reason why he's yelling at Aaron Ekblad. Yeah, that's it. He plays well at Augusta. He's sane. He's healthy. I think you're discounting that he feels some personal pressure here to try to do something.
All these guys do, though.
Yeah, but I think he wants to keep his name more relevant than all of the other guys that are from Liv that are showing up here.
Maybe.
I don't think DJ gives a crap. I don't think that DJ is coming up here going, man, I could really use an injection into the media or Cam Smith.
Mm.
None of them. I think Brooks Koepka, cares the most about showing up here and absolutely winning it.
Anyways. Reed is probably the only other guy who I'd think about that way, but it just doesn't come the same way.
Yeah. Oh, no, Reed is. But the thing is, I don't view Reed as in this conversation.
No, I'm with
you.
I'm with you there.
Reed won. Mm-hmm. He won the Masters, but looking at his other finishes is like his best other ones. Well, I think he had one other top 10, but then it's like 35, 36.
He just honestly doesn't have the pop to win the Masters anymore, I don't think, driver lengthwise. He just doesn't have enough.
Not the short game, though.
Well, that's. This is what I'm going to kind of get into with my bet in a little bit here because the course is much longer.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was shocking amount of distance. I should have kept it in front of me, but I was pretty surprised by the addition to the yardage. You guys know it offhand?
I just know they lengthened the one par five by 35 yards, which is obscene.
No, but the entire course itself, they've added quite a bit. Like the entire 18, you look at it and you go, holy crap, that's quite a bit.
Yeah, they don't want to see birdies anymore. They want to see these guys.
Careful,
fight.
You're about to go down into golf minutia Sam. He'll
with
drag
Saturday,
you there.
The weather and the new course, I do think that it's going to be a real hellish Masters. I think that this is going
to
be a really
good. Just
really
what everyone wants to see. Everyone chop it around Augusta.
I know.
God forbid you get eagles Saturday. And birdies. Yeah. Oh, my God, that would suck.
Okay. So the Rory narrative to me now has shifted because when it was a little bit more adversarial with Liv, for him to win in this situation, I thought would have propelled him into a different stratosphere in terms of legacy and golf would have sold him as the guy that sold golf. I think the one way that I would have defended him if I was you was that he was trying to take pressure off himself because there was so much on him that this was a way of de-escalating.
I can already hear the counter arguments to that. So that's why I didn't take that of course, because he can't handle the pressure.
He can't.
But he's played a bunch. I think he's played 81 holes at Augusta this week, I saw.
Yeah.
And he's going to have a triple on number one. In a practice round 2 weeks ago, apparently. Okay.
Triple on number one incoming.
So we didn't talk about Tiger. No. We might have to extend it into the podcast only portion because I do have to get to my best bet, which I think, Sammy, you're really going to like because it's a guy that we've been tracking all year long and that I believe in deeply. But with Tiger, my biggest take with him is that we always wondered, could golf move on without Tiger Woods? And the one good thing about Liv is that it really did spark conversations about all the other golfers. And I cannot believe that we're going to a Masters where, of course, if Tiger's there on Sunday, it's the biggest possible story that could happen. Duh.
Not even close.
I'm not going to zag on that. I'm not going to be like, Rory's bigger than Tiger winning the match. Like, no, nothing is bigger than Tiger being there on Sunday. However, it doesn't feel like golf needs Tiger the way that it used to, and I feel like that's actually a really positive sign for the sport.
Yeah, no doubt. I think that's really well said, that it is complete gravy. If he injects himself into the conversation or he has a moment where he has a couple early birdies on a Saturday or something like that, it's great. And it will add a 1-2% to the fire. But yeah, they don't need him anymore. There's just so many other capable guys.
Here's my dream scenario for Tiger is that he forms now into the Freddie Couples Memorial tourney where every year he's floating around the top of the leaderboard going into Saturday, and then he kind of just fades away and the big boys take over.
Just wish Freddie would have won one.
Remember that? Like, it was five straight years, six straight years there where he was just like always right near the top of the leaderboard on Saturday, and then he just kind of fades away. That's what I want for Tiger. I want him to go there, be relevant, have some moments. Maybe, he won't make an eagle because they made all the holes 800 yards long, so there'll be none of that. But he'll, be nice for him to go out there and have some moments, make a big putt, get the patrons all fired up, and then kind of just fade away and let the big boys take over on Saturday and Sunday. That's the dream scenario now for Tiger.
So as
the dream scenario is him winning, but it's just not going to happen. He's 99-1.
Here's the thing, though. I'm an F1 guy now, so I don't just care about first place. I care about top 10 finishes.
Fastest car still winning?
Yeah, and I would care a lot about Tiger Woods having a top 10 finish. I think that would be kind of nice. Like, that's kind of the aspirational goal for
him.
It's a
big ask.
No, of course. I'm saying to me, that's like, wow, you did it. You finished top 10 somehow. I don't expect it whatsoever. No. Look at this field, man. And again, now
stacked.
It is stacked. I did think, though, with it being longer and the fact that he can still absolutely stripe it, like maybe there is something for him here. All right. I'm going to do my best bet, and then I'm going to take one more topic into the podcast only portion. But right now, it's time for Best Bets, brought to you by our friends at Betano. Guns wearing his hardcore Betano orange sweatshirt today.
He's on theme today.
Very nice. Very nice. Way to show up for the sponsor. Do you guys know that Betano is the 2022 Global Sports Betting Operator of the Year?
I do. Listen to the pod all the time, so I did know that.
Global Sports Betting Operator of the Year.
Same with me.
The entire world.
I listen to your show every day, so I know that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's my bet for the Masters. It's a bet that I have made multiple times, and I make it essentially every year, and I can't believe the value is still this. Justin Thomas plus 200 to finish top 10. Mm-hmm. Mm. Okay, so you guys didn't seem that enthusiastic because, again, now the course is longer, right? Well, he finishes top 10.
Has a bad hip as well.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's like scuttlebutt. That's not officially reported. That just seems to be the scuttlebutt on the ground.
It doesn't play well at Augusta, though.
I guess I should say with him winning, but it just feels like he's near the top of the leaderboard on Friday and Saturday, and then he fades away. Like, was he top 10 every time?
Yeah, he's basically been a guy that finishes top 10. Like, recently, he's done it twice.
Okay.
He's top five once. In the event, top 25 six different times. Like, he's just a guy that I feel like hangs well, is competitive. Okay. And then, yeah, the approach game, which is what everyone's saying is going to be the harder part of this tournament, is that, hey, the length, whatever, the actual driving looks like it's going to be easier, but that the approach game is going to what separate people apart. That's where I feel like JT takes advantage. The hip thing I was not aware
of. And he just hasn't been playing well.
That's it. Yeah.
I'm still sticking with it.
Okay.
It's my best bet. Top 10 finish, plus 200, Justin Thomas. Feel like he's going to make this happen, all right? Even though the golf guys aren't in on it. Anyways, we'll get some of their bets in the podcast-only portion of this. That was Best Bets brought to you by Betano Sportsbook. The game starts now. Quick break. Head on over to the podcast. Subscribe, review.
Everything Raptors, before and after the games. The Raptor Show with Will Liu. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Podcast-only version of the show. Golf guy still here, Sam McKee.
No haters.
Well, I mean, these two haters. This is a group of kind of haters.
Yeah, that's true. Like, we don't need to get into it. I hate a lot.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I like a lot in here.
I know Gunn's such a hater that I literally brought him something today where I said, I got excited knowing I was seeing you today because I hated something so much that here, let me tell you about this thing I hate.
That means we care, though. That's good. It means we care.
100% a thing. Okay, so. Anything, did we leave anything off the bone when it comes to Masters Talk? Is there anything else you guys need to do?
I know this is something that's been my hobby horse, but I'm really interested and worried about how much harder it's going to play. We touched on it, but like that's going to be a big thing throughout this week.
I feel like you're always, this is where you and I diverge as fans of, and again, I'm a casual, just watches the majors, right? Like Sammy and Guns, we watch all these events. So maybe it's a little bit different in terms of what you want to see versus what I want to see. But, like, I love the U.S. Open when it plays really hard.
Yeah, I like the U.S. Open because it's supposed to be like that.
And I get what you're saying about the Masters, but part of it feels like why it's going to be so hard is that they got unlucky with the weather and the change in the course.
Yeah, that's something that I'm keeping a very close eye on is how it plays. So
I meant to look at the under on Eagles. By the way, you know what else was a decent? I wonder what you guys thought about this one. Is like, recently there's been a lot of hole-in-ones at the Masters. Mm-hmm. I think it's something like three or four of the last 6 years.
There's a hole-in-one during the practice round. Yeah. 12 by
still,
Sepp Straka.
You can get no on Betano. You can get no hole-in-one for plus 220.
So the only problem with that is that you're going to get the feeder pin on Sunday on 16. It is a built in the 16. Bottom of a bowl.
Plus 220.
Plus 220. I was shocked by it.
That's such a boring bet.
The worst part is that someone gets it and you're just on your couch.
Crap!
And here's the thing. It's going to be a cutaway. So you're going to be watching Masters golf. Yeah. And you know it's happening on Saturday
or Sunday.
We
go to 16. Yeah, Vern Lundquist is like, come on.
Like, no.
Just flip out.
Yeah, no. And so that's what I think. It's just such a lame bet that I didn't want to do.
It's like Cousin Sal's no buzzer beater bet.
Yeah. God. But that's
Mine says plus 180 for no.
Then it switched. Then it lowered the value.
People are hammering no.
Yes is minus 250.
Yeah, so then I guess a lot of money did come in on no. Mm-hmm.
I wonder, with it being softer too, you won't necessarily get as many balls kind of trundling towards, but it'll be easier to throw darts too. So I don't know. Could be talked into either side of that.
You know what else I really like? Rory McIlroy versus Scottie Scheffler matchup. Scottie Scheffler minus, they're even odds, minus 115, minus 115.
Yeah.
Like for the whole tourney?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. Even odds, you're just betting against Rory, you're fading Rory, and you're going with Scottie Scheffler. I like that one.
Minus 115.
I could never pull the trigger, but that's very, very nice odds for Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah. All right. Last thing I'm going to do on my personal bets for the Masters. Mm-hmm. Max Homa, plus 3,400 to win. Mm.
The people's golfer.
I sprinkled Twitter's golfer. Him on a top 10, so I'm on board with this.
I get it. Apparently the buzz with him too is that he kind of chokes away at majors, but he's been playing really good golf lately.
Yeah, it's a classic. Can you get over the hump as a guy who's learned to win and he's won tournaments, but winning a tournament and winning a major is completely different.
And then, Brooks Koepka is plus 3,900.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I know.
I still think the muscle memory is going to unravel for those live guys late of stuff actually mattering personally. But that's why I like, for if you're big on a live guy, I like him way more for a top five or a top 10 than I do an outright
win. I'm saying is like DJ is plus 2,900 and Koepka is plus 3,900. It just feels like a
way better odds for Brooksy.
That's what I'm saying.
It's and like DJ, I guess that's just because DJ's won there. Mm-hmm. You've seen it. Yep. That's why they're giving you the extra, the longer odds on Brooks.
Sure. So they do have a head up Brooks DJ matchup, and you can get Koepka plus 115 there.
Yeah, that's like not
that.
Bad either.
I like that.
So one of the ones that I love. Yeah. Is I always love doing a first round leader bet.
Yes, such a great. And I love that too.
Because it's just because if you win one, you get a little bankroll for the weekend.
It's like betting first five innings in baseball. So I totally get it.
I always like looking at the final groups, right? Like I'm not going to bet a guy who tees off at 10 a.m. to be the first round leader.
Yeah.
It just feels like it's going to come from a group. And we talk about Corey Connors a lot.
I feel like everyone who leads first day, you don't get to watch them play golf at all. You just get highlights, like a couple
of
highlights.
Yeah, it's like, we're starting the broadcast at 6 p.m., always.
Yeah, exactly. They go, boy, you should have seen this first round. This was the best part of the day. You go like, thanks.
No,
it's Corey Connors to lead the first round.
I'm just looking that up right now. He is on Betando. He is plus 4,900, which is a nice number.
I like that.
And he's coming off the Valero Texas Open where he's red hot. He won it. He's got the momentum coming into Thursday.
Yeah.
Listen, love you, Corey. The putter's just not going to hold up through the weekend at Augusta. But where, you know, he's played well at Augusta. Like, he's been in the top 10 multiple times here. He's a really good player there. Mm. It's just the putter lets him down at the end. I think the first round there is obviously the least amount of pressure. I'm thinking him going in there off Valero, a little momentum, later tee time. Plus 4,900 as a first round leader,
like that.
To me is something like I could absolutely see him going out and shooting a 66 and going into the clubhouse leading. So you look at I know it's stupid and probably not true. I don't have any background on this, but look at the guys who are teeing off later. That's where I'd be looking at for a first round leader. Like the final group has Jordan Spieth in it, has Tony Finau in it. Those are guys that I'd be looking at if you're interested in a Tommy Fleetwood.
So a lot of Spieth buzz.
Yeah, I'm not in on it.
So the only problem, with the late first round leader is it'll depend on you could get jammed up a little weather wise, and then these guys are having to come back and finish their round. Now they'd be doing it the next day in softer conditions. That could potentially help you out more, but you're getting a guy who's having a hot round broken up if that's potentially the case. So that's the only thing to kind of worry about.
Any other bet that you need to share? Or can we move on?
We can move on.
We can move on. Right. Yeah.
So, all right, those of you that love the podcast and hate golf, can't believe you're here. Can't believe you're here.
If you're still here, it's remarkable.
Like, our supporters turn to haters now.
So much. You know what, though? I've had this happen before where I've listened to podcasts. Like, when I was really in my heyday of loving Bill Simmons, I would listen to some where he would talk about wrestling, and I would be in the middle of it going, I don't even know what you're talking about, but I'm kind of enjoying this.
Yeah, it's playing the hits.
So maybe.
I got a question for you. It's something we did on the golf show, and we did our draft for the final pair, the best pairing, final pairing.
Yeah.
For what the best possible
Rory
one
Reed.
Is. Yes. I got that as the first overall pick. Yeah. That's the dream, number one.
Yeah, number one, no question. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. The only thing. No, because here's the thing. I was just going to say that if I was trying to think about who I would most want there with Tiger.
Yeah, we did non-Tiger.
We also did a Tiger pick.
But I still think that actually, like, from a viewer, I would feel like there was Tiger would wear down at the very end. Mm-hmm. And like, do I really want to see Scotty Scheffler and Tiger and
just beat the brakes off of
Scotty? I don't want that. And it just finishes, and they're like, Tiger Woods started the day. And you're like, oh, boy.
They've somehow dropped them from the coverage.
It's too dark.
I think the final 18 holes, having Rory and all of the weight of history on his shoulders against Patrick Reed, who's already won it and who hates his guts and would be doing, he would be kicking balls into the fairway,
brushing bunkers.
I don't think there's anything better. Okay, so non-golf portion of the show. All right, before we do what we missed with Jobo, because he's got some topics for us today. He's got a few good topics for us today. All right, Jobo. I'm scrolling on Instagram yesterday, and you know how you see on Instagram things people like, but that are not in your feed. Right?
Yeah.
People you interact with a decent amount, and I interact with you a decent amount.
That happens
Instagram.
On Instagram?
Yeah. I just had an all-time, like, wait, the activity tab is back? People see what I like?
No, if you scroll down far enough, it'll show, like, posts you may like or whatever it's called. Yeah.
I know. So that's what I'm saying.
Hot
so
seat.
Clean up the algorithm, fellas.
So I look, and I'm like, why is Sydney Sweeney in my algorithm?
Oh, that's me for sure.
No.
Oh.
I'm saying
my hand is also up.
I'm not saying not following Sydney Sweeney, but I'm like, why is she here? It's like someone you know really liked it.
And comments?
Really liked it.
Comments. Yeah.
No. I did not comment on it.
Sus.
But still.
I liked it.
But
like physically,
why?
Why?
It's Sydney Sweeney.
I like every single one of hers too. I think.
You do? Oh, I don't. So, so we were right.
I'm a, you were right. I was right.
You
I
were
said,
right.
I said McKee would defend this position.
100%. Yeah, it's Instagram.
It's Sydney Sweeney.
It's for liking. That's the whole point.
No, I don't think it is.
No, I don't. I agree. I think the only things you like on Instagram that you actually take the time to do the double tap on your friends' stuff. Anything you see from your friends is just an instant
pretty
support
much.
Thing.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Support.
If
support.
I see anything, like, I don't care what it is, that's you guys.
I don't
guys.
Even see my friends on Instagram.
Yeah, I know, it sucks. It's
like
just
it's
like,
buried
it used
by
to, yeah,
like,
I'll go on someone's page and be like, wow, that's
yeah,
a nice
wow.
post.
Yeah, no,
like,
no,
I should probably should have liked that one.
No, I know.
What happened 2 weeks ago?
You got married?
It's funny because, like, you'll put your posts into your stories now.
Yeah.
And then
as
it's
the
like, no one goes.
Please.
Like, because they're like, oh, I
saw. It's a bad signal.
That's why a lot of ladies do the, like, they cover up their
new post.
You're like, I'll never. Go to
swipe.
Yeah. Yeah, like
avoid.
Yeah, no shot. Like unless I can see a beach in the background, no shot. Like,
so no, let's be honest, you can always see a beach in the background.
Like no shot. No
so
shot.
So
no
I get made fun of for this. I like almost every single post on my feed just out of habit because I've grown up with social media. So it's such
oh,
a bad thing that I do.
No, I do. Schism.
I think you're just a creep liking Sydney's. You're just creeping.
No,
us.
I like the two. I like.
I'm not the only one.
Yeah. Hey, Sydney, I liked your post. Like,
yeah, DM
dude,
her.
What are you talking about?
Send it to her?
I think you're that. You're like fire emoji in the comments.
I don't comment on Instagram model
Do you guys
posts.
Ever like react to a celebrity's story?
Zero.
No.
Zero
no,
times.
Never done
do,
it?
No. Okay.
Here's what I the amount of cringe I have had, like, a Canadian golfer will win and I'll like put it on my Instagram story and then it'll tag them or whatever and I'll be like, oh God, like the embarrassment I get secondhand of like, why am I DMing Adam Svensson or whatever? So yeah, I would never do that
See,
on
I
purpose.
Think that's actually nice. Like,
no,
that's
I'll do like
move.
A, I'll do like a fire emoji to like, you know, something like a golfer.
Give us
or whatever.
A name. Give us
Sydney
a name.
Sweeney?
No, I've never done that. But like,
if she wins the Masters, then I would.
Yeah. I also comment.
I would never.
Do you comment on things? Like, I'm a big TikTok guy. I comment on TikToks. Like,
no.
I've had some TikTok comments pop off. Like, I comment on things.
Wow, I was like, guys.
TikTok Terry over here.
TikTok commenter.
I love
over here.
To comment.
I only comment on my friends. That's it.
Yeah.
No, I go
will,
anyway.
The odd time, if I see something and I feel as though I have something cleverish. I'll comment. Mm. And it's usually sports related because I feel like at least if someone sees my post on this, they'll go, hey, you know, this guy does it. What I do think is super cringe, though, is actual serial commenters where you see them like the people who always comment on Chicklet's page because they're trying.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like they always comment on the same couple of things and it's like their whole brand
once a month. Couple times a month, I'll send a comment.
I was gonna say, what's a month? Couple times a month, buddy.
A 100 times.
Now I wish there was a way I could just Google search like Sam's comments on TikTok.
Sammy McKee comments.
You know, there's some cringy. Ones.
A disc, bro.
There's some misfires in there.
there's
some misfire comments.
Shoot or shoot, baby.
Oh, you better believe.
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
I like my friend stuff, and then I like stuff that is just. Viral funny content. Like if something makes me laugh, I'll usually like it. Basically right now,
like videos of people getting hurt.
I love videos of people getting hurt, drunk people doing stuff.
Number
my
one
favorite account.
Elite.
And that one monkey that you posted.
And that
your
monkey
story.
That I'm super into this monkey. No, there's this monkey.
Dude, it's so
IKEA?
Cool.
I did post the IKEA monkey the other day.
Obviously.
I think I like that story. That was cool.
I think every there if you were like trying to cheer me up, like if I was having a really bad day.
IKEA monkey
and
in the
coat. Show me IKEA monkey in the coat.
Pretty good dopamine hit in Toronto history.
I remember where I was when I saw IKEA monkey first time, and I was laughing so hard. I was actually embarrassed because I was in public, and I was just like gut bust laughing, tears rolling down my face. I couldn't stop. I've only had that happen to me a couple of times. The first time that I can remember that happening, that was not like with your friends. Cause sometimes you do it with your friends, especially when you're like in high younger, like you get the giggle fits, whatever. But the first one for me that I can remember like that was seeing Will Ferrell shoot the dart into his neck at a movie theater in old school when he did that. And he said, you're crazy, man. I couldn't breathe. I was actually fearful that I was going to die in the movie theater just because
it's like one of those laughs where your lungs actually hurt.
Oh, it hurt me.
You're
man.
Like,
it hurt me so much. And then it just like, you think the laugh is over and then he comes out of the pool and
on the beach
kicks him in the ribs.
Well, like, yeah.
No, the whole
the beach scene so good.
The
too.
Kick in the ribs so good. But yeah, IKEA monkey, I put in that class of just like even now just thinking about it
just
I'm trying so hard not to laugh Because it looks like he's waiting for it. He's like, what's happening?
He's like, where's my ride? My Uber is 2 minutes away.
This is not cool.
You're making me wait for too long.
For this trip, but now it sucks. I'm ready to go home.
Elite tailoring, too. The jacket could not have fit better.
Great. So unbelievably great. Anyways, the point of this is like, yes, that's what I'll do on Instagram. I think liking celebrity stuff, I always wonder who does this. And then when I see it's a guy who does it to like a hot lady, I think it's super cringe. And so, Joe,
I'm just looking at my likes. I should probably get rid of my likes.
I should just not like anything at all ever.
Yeah, that's honestly, that is
generally speaking, safe way to live.
That is the way.
In today's day and age, you just don't like anything.
If you want to never.
I don't even know how to work Instagram. I'm like, how do I look at what I liked? Like,
no,
I don't know anymore.
It's gone. It used to be in an activity page.
Yeah.
That's how Pablo Sandoval got booked.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, that used to be the most dangerous place on earth. Yeah. Is like,
it's like maximum security prison directly above that. I'm terrifying places.
I honestly feel like Instagram one day that when they had that activities page, they went, some guy showed up and was like, do you know how many people get divorced?
Oh, I thought you were going to go the other way. I thought when they need like a boon of cash, they're like, everybody, activity page is coming back unless you get Venmo me $10.
Yeah.
There's a thing hidden deep in Instagram called posts you've liked where you can look at the posts that you've liked.
I'm fine. I just found it.
It's hidden deep in there.
Joe.
They don't make it obvious.
I just found it.
You want to talk about an all-time? What? Give us the last three things.
One time I tried to find a meme and I had to go back and.
They're just
at
so
it.
Bad. Like, I liked a wedding pic.
Yeah.
Okay.
I liked a Riccio meme.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Him talking about being
Reaches
a golf
the man.
Town.
Reaches the man.
And I liked a buddy of mine from Owen Sound.
But this
who,
is an acceptable list.
Who went to Great Wolf Lodge with his family?
Yeah.
So that's what I liked.
That's a pretty decent list.
It's not bad, but then it gets a little.
Jobo's like
a lot of Bernadeschi in there. Let's just say that I like it a lot of Bernadeschi. Hey. Alpha One,
that's our boy.
Jobo, 100% looking at it right now. He's like Sydney Sweeney,
Zendaya, Sweeney
Jenna Ortega,
Zendaya,
Jenna Ortega.
Yeah.
I can't even find a Sam. Where is it?
Us young guys can figure it out.
Yeah. Oh, it's too late. All right, Jobo, let's hit some of what we missed.
All right, so yesterday, Alex Verdugo and Alec Manoah are kind of going at each other a little bit.
Yeah.
Verdugo was on the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast with Rob Bradford, and he had some choice words about Alec Manoah when he was asked about the place of emotion in baseball.
Like, I'll say it right now, I think Alec Manoah goes about it the wrong way.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? 100%, I think he does. You can find videos, footage of him in the AAA going like this to hitters.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He, last year, telling Frenchie and Bobby, go sit and like that. And it's just like, and looking right at him.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, like that, like that just pisses me off. And like I said, it's not the way it should be played. It should be played like, you're celebrating it with your team. You're not disrespecting another player who's, you know, at the end of the day, we're just trying to compete, man. That's
right.
Okay.
So Manoah responded to that. They asked him, the Toronto Sun asked him about it when he was on his way to the bullpen yesterday in Kansas City. And he said, coming from him, I don't give a crap. My job is to pitch and get guys out.
Dude, okay. There's so many things to this. Number one is that the line of coming from him is an
immediate fire starter.
Amazing.
Yeah. This guy's a huge loser. Yeah. Is what he said.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Coming from him?
Yeah. That guy said stuff about me?
Verdugo gives you a great at bat every time. He's like the sneaky, scariest guy in the Red Sox.
Here's the thing. He's a great guy to do this because Verdugo's already a Blue Jay killer.
Yeah.
And he's, would you say that? No, because it's still. Devers is the face of the Red Sox for sure. Like Guns, this is more a question for you as the Red Sox guy.
Yeah.
But Verdugo is to me, Sammy. Yeah, you're right. The guy who, when the Jays play the Red Sox and they move forward in the future, I go, I hate this guy.
He just sees like eight pitches every at bat. He's fouling off good pitches. He's taking good pitches.
Well, like, it's like
he's
a
ball player.
The thing of
he's no Mookie Betts. But
well, that's what I was going to say.
He also just played he's for done Mexico the against Canada, so there's a little bit of extra juice hate against him.
He's done the unthinkable and survived being the guy who was traded for Mookie Betts to not be this bum, and he's a part of their it is Devers. It's his team. He signed the deal. They actually paid somebody, but Verdugo's right there behind him.
So. Couple other thoughts on this. I love that the announcer at the very beginning, we should actually clip that, Josh. He's like, oh, do ya? It actually sounds like he's Manoah's buddy. Where he's like, oh do ya?
Really?
Is it? That's the tone he has with it. It's kind of weird that he does that. But I heard Ryan Dempster on Jeff Blair's show. Mm-hmm. And he talked about this yesterday. Yeah. And his answer was perfect. I was actually expecting him to come on and go like, haha, that's just kind of baseball players, right? And just sort of roll through it and not really get involved. Mm-hmm. But he was like, I knew this is coming. Hitters want to be able to pimp stuff. And they want to be able to celebrate. And they want to be able to be cocky. But he's like, when a pitcher does it, it takes on a different aura.
Mm. Interesting. It's true, actually.
And it is true. And it's like, let the pitcher, he's like, you guys want to play the whole game of like Goose Gossage is too old school and all this stuff when you guys bat flip and celebrate. And now you're going to call it the pitcher who's doing things differently. Man, you know what I think pisses guys off about Manoah is that not only does he dominate, you couldn't do anything about it.
Just beat the wheels off you.
Beat the brakes off you.
Imagine someone running at Manoah. Oh, the first hand into your gut that comes out your like back.
You wouldn't be able to move him.
Because he put so much weight. Oh, no, dude.
The thing that pissed me off about that clip is like he said, oh, he's looking right at them.
Yeah, no doubt.
It's like, well, I mean, would you rather him do it while his back is facing you? It's like, that's like the best part of it.
He's looking
him in the eye and doing it.
I love it.
Yeah, me too.
Absolutely. I think Manoah's approach is the best. And this is the thing, like we were talking about earlier with golf, is I love sports hate and I love when there feels like there's stakes between guys. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Now, if you see this, if you see Manoah and Verdugo at bats, you're going, this is awesome because both these guys are going to lock in for this moment in a different way. And I know that blah, 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 they're pros and they try to lock in the same way. They always say
it's not the same.
Yeah, no. I know that if the next time those two guys play each other, Manoah gets his second strikeout in a row against Verdugo.
Oh, sit
it's
down.
A
you know,
beautiful
it's
moment.
Sit down.
And if Verdugo hits a bomb off of him, he's going to be staring him down, running the base paths, and they're going to be jawing each other. That's sick.
Yes.
Yeah. That's so good for baseball. Agreed. So, yeah, hell yeah to
May
all
1st,
of this.
Toronto's in Boston.
And by the
May 1st.
Way, I don't like, I think Verdugo is definitely a baby because just, dude, what are you talking about? Anyway, you only want to celebrate with your teammates if, as soon as you say anything mean to anybody here.
Sports, it's emotional.
A bit. Like, shut up. But also, cool that you actually at least spoke up and said, yeah, I hate that guy. I don't know why more athletes just don't do that from time to time where they go, yeah, I don't like that dude. It's so good. Yeah. It generates
much
commentary.
You see what happens when someone says something bad about somebody on Manoah's team. Like, who was the guy who was like, Alejandro Kirk, and we don't need to get into all that.
Yeah.
He like went after him. So it's Manoah wants the smoke for other people, let alone for himself.
No, dude,
so that's why.
It's so funny. Guy. It's so funny. Stroman must be so jealous of Manoah because Manoah does so much of the same stuff as him on Twitter where he'll like quote tweet anybody that says anything about him.
They're all like, good job, Alex. Yeah.
You show it.
And people are like, this guy can't let anything go.
Sell another hat.
Yeah, I know. So anyway.
Maybe that's it. What's just next? No branding. Maybe that's why.
No, it's just big guys.
It's totally.
As a small guy, I can say that this is the way it is. It's like, big guys do stuff. You guys do stuff.
We get no
world.
Respect.
Yeah, and that's
well,
small
who's going to tell Manoah to stop?
Yeah, there's a reason why Napoleon was, they were like, you're Russia? And he was
little
like,
guy?
Yeah. I'll do it. I'll go there.
There's literally a complex named after him.
Exactly. So what else?
So I did want to get this in the sports fanatics quiz.
Yeah, this is your big thing. This better hit. Joe texted me about this last night. I have no idea. He's like, I'm very excited. So,
before the MLB season, Visit Anaheim, which is an agency in LA or just outside of LA, they commissioned a poll about sports fanatics and the lengths that people would go to support their team. Okay. I took one of them out because it's just like, do you have a favorite team? Obviously, yes. So I'm going to go through the first three, and you guys are going to tell me yes or no. Do you land on either side? And the last two are over or under. Okay. So 45% of American sports fans have traveled outside of the country to see a game. Yes, have you done that? No,
yes.
If you haven't. Yes,
I mean,
yes.
Of course, because all the games are in the States.
That's kind of hard for a Toronto one.
Yeah, that's such a cheat code one for Toronto versus the rest of the world. So, everyone in America, they're like, yeah, no, we didn't go to the Raptors.
So 35% said that they have specifically planned a vacation based on where and when their team is playing.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, of course.
Yes and yes and yes.
Yeah.
All three hits.
It took me a second because I'm like vacation where I thought about, I think about going to a beach somewhere and then I'm like, and then
like,
we could also
you go on vacation. It's like, no, it's like they're playing in this game on this day.
Yeah.
We're going for this reason.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you build everything around
it. Yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
Of course.
52%.
Again, cheating for Canadians because it's like we like NFL up here. So anybody that has a passing interest in the national football, it's like you have to leave. So anyway,
52% said they've watched every single one of their team's games. Don't miss one under any circumstance.
No way.
Yeah, I mean, to a degree, that's me.
To a degree.
But part of it is work, too. Like, I definitely want to miss some games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's, like I said, Raptors, Hornets. I'm like, I'm good. I don't need to see this.
I can't.
Had the Leafs played the Blue Jackets last night, I would have still. Here's the thing.
What is the definition of watched? Because
had an eye or watched?
Yeah. What watched intensely versus had it on and was checking the score and like having it play in the background. Mm-hmm. Those are different things. But no, dude, you can't be a reasonable functioning human in society. Like, I get it when you're in your 20s, because I was definitely like that.
Yeah.
Where, like, I'd be at university. I didn't miss a single Leafs game, no question. I would put everything aside. I was watching every single Leafs game.
Yeah.
But as an adult, you won't have a relationship or friends or whatever.
I remember being at a wedding in a small town, and it was Leafs Rangers on a Saturday night. I still remember. And I was just so sour to be missing it. And it's guess what? Well, life is going
to
happen.
Some of the replies to this are actually like, 52% said they've watched every game under any circumstance.
But that, if it's America, it's football.
It's one day a week.
It's one day a week. It's different.
And I don't miss Seahawks games.
Okay. Well, there you go.
There you go.
Yeah. I don't think I've missed a Seahawks game. I don't even know when the last time I saw it. Like,
I never miss my favorite team's game, Red Zone.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were going to say Crushers GC.
There was one person who said they missed their friend's wedding just to see their team play, and they drove 10 hours to another state just to do it.
That's wrong.
Okay.
The last two are over-under, so you got to tell me. These are maximum averages based on what the respondent said. So the maximum average of time they would travel for a game, so just one game, not a vacation, was 5 hours and 48 minutes to watch one game of their favorite team.
No.
No, absolutely not.
Would you go to Montreal?
Yeah.
I
drove 3 hours to Belleville to play a golf course with you.
Yeah, that's like a trip to Montreal, though. Like, that's not to just see them play.
This would be like driving to Montreal, watching the game, driving home first thing the next morning. Like, you're not going there for Montreal. That, you're just watching
that. I've done that many times.
Buffalo. Cleveland.
Ottawa.
Cleveland
Fine.
Would be.
Yeah, for sure. I just, in my mind, all I can think of is how... I don't know. That it just sometimes I think, who does this? How do people make this work where they come in from the suburbs even to go to some of these games? Like,
tell me about it.
Hardcore traffic and
somewhat newly suburb guy. The
anyway,
worst.
I feel like, again, all of us, this is all cheat stuff for Canadian sports fans.
Well, and guys who it's our job.
Yeah, exactly. It's like we're the worst people to be asked this, Joe. Like, do you guys watch sports?
Okay, that's not what I asked.
Thanks, Joe. He's like, you took out a question in this poll, which was,
do you have a favorite team? Yeah, obviously I removed that one. That one's soft.
No, but these are other real hard hitters.
The last one was the average maximum of money they'd spend on a game is $762 to see their team play.
Depends.
Yeah, again.
It would depend on the game.
This is like a whole other podcast, because it's the idea of, like, can I spend that much money knowing that I'm a Leaf fan and it's going to end with me getting kicked in the teeth?
No, but all I keep thinking here is, like, you keep saying your team play, and I'm like, yeah, this feels like a fan poll for football fans in the States.
Well, are you, like...
That's what I'm trying to attribute it to.
What's the number you're paying for a Jays World Series game?
$2,000.
$2,000. So definitely over then.
I think I would probably, I'd be in that range.
Yeah. $2,000. Once it starts to go over that, I'm
like... Do you not have the crippling... Like, I obviously wasn't nearly as much money, but it's like I did the whole Montreal trip, and the crappy Canadians kicked the Leafs in the teeth, and then I'm just have a bad night in Montreal. How do you guys... Like, I could never pull the trigger on expensive ticket X for a really important game, because I'd just be terrified they're going to lose the whole time. But
it's a good point. Like, I do have the fear. Like, I won't.
Yeah, we all have the fear.
But there's a lot of times I won't even go out for a big game because I just want to sit at home in the dark and then react after.
The amount of nobody talk to me. Game seven's about to start. Hopefully, we talk in the morning text.
Well,
you
and I for Bucks Raps when they won and they, you know, we watched that at home.
Yeah, but I will say this. Okay, there's a couple.
But we
things.
Had good luck at your place.
This
so
is
that's
definitely.
Why we did it.
This is definitely. Yeah, we
cleaned up that run.
And we've also tried, and we went out for the entire night, spent a ton of money, and over the course of that playoff run, too. This is the thing, is there's a couple things to this. One is, you guys talked about the Toronto sports fan view of this hardcore, which is like always getting beaten down, losing, and just being like, the worst is going to happen.
Yeah,
so
Boston sports fan is like, we go out for every game because we always win.
But that's what I'm saying.
It's guaranteed money back when I sell this ticket stub.
I've only done that once, where I had a ticket to something and I decided not to go because I thought the downside of being there for the loss was going to hurt me too badly. But also, I was presented with the upside of getting to watch the game with Sam and a bunch of my other friends, which was the Jays beating the Rangers.
Mm. No, Jays beating the Orioles in the wild card game.
No, I was there with you at that game. I'm saying when I sold my ticket to go to Rangers Blue Jays.
The bat flip game?
Yes, DS. Bat flip game.
You had tickets that game?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, no, I had cheats.
It's come up on the show before.
Yeah, no, yeah. I sold my tickets to that game because, first of all, it was you, me, Braden, Dunjack, and I that were all going to go to the game. And I didn't have the heart to be like, I'm only going to watch this with one of you. And it was such an expensive ticket. And it was also like, I have to go to this game and sit in the torture chamber.
Yeah.
And I wasn't ready for it, especially since, by the way, that series against the Rangers, I was bad luck. Like, I genuinely was feeling like I did
that
bad.
Should have been on your quiz. How much do you think you personally affect things? Because I think out all the time.
No, I don't think, I don't think that going in. But what I will say is, like, I don't know. There's a weird thing to being a sports fan sometimes where it feels like if you keep losing in the same spot, I'm definitely a switch it up guy.
For sure.
Superstition.
Yeah.
You have
like,
to.
Listen, if you're not superstitious as a sports fan, I don't think you're a sports fan.
Yeah. Like, what
sucks? Or your team just wins
all the time.
Well, what sucks is for McKee and I, my favorite sports bar, although it's kind of getting worse lately, but anyway.
This lose every game. Ever,
we've lost every meaningful game in this bar,
really?
And now it's not even my local anymore because we've lost so many.
Too beat down.
So I have a place that I watch the Raps championship win at, and then just like through work, I've been working a lot of like the Leafs games or whatever. So I have not been back for a big moment, and it's like still on ice for the next big game that needs to be saving.
Yeah. Love that.
Yeah, I like that too. Again, it depends. Like. It depends on like who is going to go with me to the game, right? Mm-hmm. Who's going to also fork up the dough to go to this game? What is the stake of the moment, right? Like, do I already have the ticket? Do I have to go buy the ticket? Like, there's just a lot of factors that go into those ones. But I will say that for me personally, at this point in my sports fandom, to turn down the idea of going to a World Series game over money that the Toronto Blue Jays are in when I haven't had a chance to do that in my whole life, like, I'm doing that.
Yeah, what are you going to remember?
Leafs are in a Stanley Cup final. Yeah, they might lose that game.
It's more to get in than $2,000.
Yeah, but of course. But my point is there, though. My point is there, though, is that, like, I've made a career from my love of these teams.
Yeah.
And so there's just no way that these events are going to happen, and then I'm going to go, no thanks. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to end up looking at some of my expenditures and be like, wait, you bought new shoes and you bought, it's like, no.
It's an investment in a once in a lifetime opportunity.
Exactly. I want to feel a part of something and like, when I'm in my like older days, if I happen to make it there, that I want to be able to look back and be like one of those old guys that goes, I was there at that series, you know, game four. Matthews scored
there,
twice,
son.
You know,
and like they lost.
Yeah.
He scored twice,
and that's why I live.
Joey
Wall
was in net
street corner. Anyways, what's
okay,
next?
Back to the home. Yeah. Okay,
what's next?
What'd you guys think about Wayne Gretzky saying that there should be a Bobby Orr trophy for most points scored by a defenseman? He said that on TNT on Sunday.
I actually kind of like it, but also not. It's like we already kind of have that.
I say go the other way.
Well, like he was advocating to have a Norris for the best defensive defenseman, and then Bobby Orr trophy for offensive defenseman.
I say go the other way. Give the Norris to the guy, whoever you want to give it to, and then have a Nick Lidstrom award or whatever you want to call it, or the Zdeno Chara allowed to take all the penalties he wants memorial award or whatever.
Somebody could win both. Like, I think if you win the highest scoring one and you're also the Norris, you can win that and you just win both of them, or else you, like, I think, you know, this is just in the news because of Erik Karlsson having a unbelievable season where, I mean, how many points is he up to now? Almost 100.
Is he at 100?
Well, he's probably got like 96, 97. Yeah. I just, like, he's obviously not the best defenseman in the league right now.
No.
He's the best offensive defenseman in the league. Yeah. So that's why this conversation's hot in the streets. But a lot of times I feel like the most offensive defenseman is also the best guy. Like, you know, you look at Makar, he could just win it every year.
Yep.
Like, I just, you know, Dougie Hamilton's got almost 70 points this year. Like, I just feel that
Fox,
if you have a lot,
guys,
the whole point of the game is to score. And if you're a defenseman who's scoring a lot, you're probably one of the best in the league. Therefore, you get to win the North.
Carlson has 96 points.
Yeah, the puck's in the other end. Yeah. Here's my thought on it. I don't like splitting the award because you're right. I'm a believer of it should just be one award.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it did get me thinking that the one thing that they just did with those trophies with basketball, right? They changed them all up and they were like, now it's the Michael
Jordan.
And it's like, it's kind of lame, but hockey hasn't done a good job of being like, here's the Gretzky, here's the Orr, like the most foundational players in the sport.
Yeah.
there should be more stuff that's attributed to their name.
Yeah,
right?
It's like the Lindsay and the Rashard.
Yeah,
right?
And yeah. It's like, yeah, but Rashard deserves it. Like, yep. Rashard, like, I was talking about how cool the riot was the other day. So, man, the craziest thing about the Rocket Riot is that literally, so Clarence Campbell, obviously, I don't know if you guys know a lot about the story, but he suspends Maurice Rashard, right?
Yeah, of course.
He's like, no, but he decides to do that after they meet in person, and Rashard's like, tells him basically, I don't remember what happened, which is the line he feeds him. And then he's pissed. And they hate each other. They hate each other's guts. So after Campbell suspends him for the entire season, like, yeah, he goes to Montreal. And the mayor of Montreal called him and was like, please don't come here. We're begging you not to come. And Campbell was like, you think I'm a chicken?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you think I'm afraid? And he went, and it was like, guys, one guy slapped him in the face that night at the forum. Ooh. One guy walked up and slammed a tomato in his chest.
That's a real 1940s thing.
No, 50s, but 50s. Yeah, 50s. But yeah, no, it was like the whole game, he was sat in there.
We should bring back throwing tomatoes at people who are underperforming.
But like, so there's two things. It's like, one, the cockiness of Campbell to do that, to go to Montreal after he suspended him for the season, and the mayor pleads with him not to come. He's like, dude, please. You don't understand how pissed off you
the
are.
The city itself and, is being
and he's like,
bro.
That's it. And that's how he interpreted it. He's like, you think I'm a coward? What a classic old guy move. 1950s guy move where he's like,
oh, you think
what?
Let me tell you what, that guy didn't hear a lot in his life up until that point.
But yeah,
no.
Apparently one fan in the stands got close to him and did the fake handshake and then slapped him. The face.
Awesome.
Like, yeah, and one guy slept. Yeah, they threw stuff at him all game long, and then, yeah, the riot started after it spilled out in the streets, and, like, he helped incite it. Anyways, complete bozo move in hindsight, but, like,
he
also
brought it upon himself.
Yeah, but anyways, awesome. What's next?
The Royal Mail, which is essentially the UK version of the Canada Post. Yeah. So they've been, a little bit of context, they've been in a labor dispute with the union and the company about worker pay. Okay. So on April Fool's, they posted a bulletin, and it said that each employee was going to get an 11% raise. But it was an April Fool's joke.
Yeah.
And, of course, the employees flipped out and said, like, that's horrible, that's cruel. I mean, that's got to be one of the worst things you can do as a company.
Well, yeah, it's dumb, but it's also April Fool's, bozos. Be aware. Like,
that's too close to
home. No, every single company puts out a thing about them joking.
But, dude, you can't be a company and say
in a labor
you're
dispute.
Getting raises. No, I didn't raise the labor dispute, no labor dispute. You can't say people are getting raises and then be like, just kidding.
Psych.
No, don't play with
my
money.
I'm very, very sensitive to April Fools because I used to fall for it bad. My mom has got me with some really, really rotten ones over my ears.
Give us one.
Like,
Marianne, what did you?
She told me that they had tickets to a Leaf game for me, and they didn't. And I looked at they were playing, and I looked at the ticker, and it was Washington. It was in Washington.
Oh.
And I was like, you lied? Like, it's just like, April Fools! Like, I've been scarred.
So you should, so if anything, you should be
listen,
with
no, like,
the
I'm
workers.
Just, like, no, no, I'm not even, it's just that, like, I know, I got it set on my clock. Like, it's like, April Fools, I ain't getting gotten.
got it set on
like,
my clock.
I ain't getting gotten this year by Marianne. So, like, I was like,
good morning, not today, you're not gonna get
so,
me with
so
your
you
games.
Thought you had the tickets until you saw it was Washington, and then you were
I'll
like,
I'll tell you
oh,
this.
Shoot.
Don't be a bozo. It's April Fools. Just don't even fall for anything.
This guy, I love this, where he's like, in the movies where they go get the guy, like, help us with this. He's like, no, he can't. He's in the bunker already. He's got all the supplies on April Fool's.
Help yourself. I hate April Fool's.
I will say this. Nobody likes to be the fool. And I hate it.
When I get duped, I hate it.
I feel like such a sucker idiot. And like, oh, God, it just boils my blood to think about times I've gotten got. And then you have to play it off like, ah, ha, 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 ha. But I will say this. I do think that a good April Fool's with somebody is one that does fringe on the, this is kind of realistic, and it's not. And I will say that, yeah, my dad, I remember when I was a kid, he got me with Sports 1 too, which was, he was like, Sean Kemp got traded. And I was like, what? And I woke up, and he's like, yeah, he's traded. He's gone. And I was like, what? No way. And he's like a little kid.
Pre-internet? It's incredible.
That's not fair.
Dad's owned you.
That's
they
not
were
nice.
Like,
I can do whatever
were,
the hell you
they were
the power that they had.
They're your Sports Center. They're your ticker. They're your Twitter. They're everything.
Wiki. Yeah.
Your dad. You're scrolling down.
Like, what do you got for me?
The
no
power,
good.
The power your dad had was like, what's on Sports Tonight, power? Yeah. Like, yeah, that was it. But yeah, I remember getting got. But yes, the idea of it getting realistic and not kind of crossing that line. But I think that money is crossing the line. Like, I do. I think that a company doing that, you can't even walk.
Well,
it
that's
back.
Bad on its own. You know, but then, like,
they should be getting old tomato chested. Is what they should be
bringing tomato. Clarence Campbell
tomato in the chest. Tomato
the
in the
fake
chest.
Handshake.
They're like, sir, the social media manager. You really should not walk through the newsroom right now. You know, you saying I can't? You calling me exactly. A coward?
Tomato,
yeah,
tomato.
You think I'm a coward? You think I'm a coward? Yeah, that's the best. All right, well, let's wrap this up. That was some good stuff. That was some fun stuff today. I wanted to do the fun. So, congrats. If you like this part of the podcast, like I always say, leave 5 stars.
Subscribe.
So, yeah, follow it on Spotify, follow it on iTunes. And then if you're on iTunes, leave a nice little comment. All right? Let's have that rating go up. I like seeing them coming. Again, I know how many of you listen to this thing, so it kind of sucks if there's not more reviews. Anyway, thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.